We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So what's new? We often have that question asked of us, don't we? Hey, what's new? And if I were to ask that right now and go around the room, so what's new? Some of you would have different answers. Oh, it's a new year. Or you might mention, oh, I got a new job, or I got a new something for Christmas or something. And you'd have different answers for it. Well, however you might be tempted to or want to answer that question, hey, what's new? By the time we're through today, we'll see if you still would answer the same thing or if you might want to answer something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to jump into verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This last Thursday, of course, we turned our calendars to the beginning of a new year. And the start of a new year is often a time for, and it can cause us to kind of stop and evaluate. Evaluate last year, the good, the bad. Think about the new year coming up. It's a time to think about what changes might we make. I mean, New Year's resolutions are famous. I heard that we only keep like 10% of them, but we tend to make New Year's resolutions, don't we? Because we think it's a good time to make a new start and all. Point is, the start of a new year can get us thinking. It can get us thinking of what lies ahead, what might the future hold, what does 2015 hold for us, all common responses to the turning of a calendar. But this morning I want to just help us soak in and recognize and rejoice in the fact that there's a new that's far greater than just a new year. Man turns a calendar and it's a new year. God touches a life and it's a new creation. That fact, that truth, that we are new creations in him, that's going to be our focus for this morning. And not just for this morning, but I hope it would be something we walk in every day. I've called our time together this morning, New Creations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, knowing that you've put this on my heart for a while now to share, Father, I just got to believe there's somebody this morning that needs some encouragement in this truth that we are new. Or perhaps somebody, Lord, needs to get a new take on it, a fresh take on it, needs to be stirred up in it. Then so be it, Lord. Lord, maybe there's someone this morning that needs to become that new creation that you make us. Haven't yet made that decision, but today is that call to him, Lord. So, Lord, I'm just praying, Lord, keep away the distractions and all, and help us to hear. Help us to hear it. New levels and in new ways that truly you make new. What a difference you make. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. I truly do pray this will be an encouraging time for each of us when we think about what God is saying here. And it's a text that we're often very familiar with, but may we not get used to what it's pointing to. Let's jump back to verse 14 now and work our way through what God would have for us this morning. Verse 14 declares, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, notice capital O there, talking about Jesus, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. What we're looking at here now is this beginning where he's focusing on, going to kind of be culminating in this fact that we are new creations. But right here we see something that should mark the life of, be characteristic of, a person who is indeed a new creation in Christ. It's a clear declaration that those who are new creations are not to live with self as center anymore. Instead, we're called to live with Jesus as the center of our lives. He clearly says that those who live should live, what's it say? No longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That for the Christian, the person who's truly born again, there's a new ownership, so to speak. We've signed over the title deed of our lives. And we're to slide out of the driver's seat and say, Lord, you drive now. No longer am I going to look to self and my own will and my limited thinking and plans. Lord, I want your will to be done. And so the new creation is a person who has, they seek God's guidelines. They go by what he says, what his word declares, the how this life is to be lived. But in saying that, let me just say what we all know, and that is self dies hard. Self always thinks it knows what's best. It's quick to tell us what to do. But the Bible is very clear. With self in the driver's seat, there's a ditch in your future. You will be run off the road because self does not serve us well. We think that it knows best, but it really doesn't. It gets us in trouble all the time. Self really doesn't see. Self doesn't see tomorrow. Self isn't really out for the best interest of all around me and all. And so God would come in and say, look, don't be ruled by your flesh anymore. Don't be ruled by self anymore. Instead, let me be at the helm of your life. Do things my way is the calling. That's the new creation life. Now, dying to self is not a popular common theme that's preached today. In general, we live in a time in which Christianity is held forward as very much a self-fulfilling thing, and it'll make you feel good, and God wants you happy, and all these things. And the trouble is, when a trial comes, people are rattled. They're thrown. Because God's interested in holiness. God's interested in working and work in our lives. But we got to get out of the way. As we yield to him, we find he does the better work. And so the call here is just that. Our great need is to dethrone self. Again, it's to get out of the driver's seat of our lives and say, God, I need you to drive. Now, it's the Lord's love that calls us to die to self. When he calls us to reckon the old man dead, it says, that means to count it as if it's so, because it is. To count that old man dead, don't give it power anymore, the old nature. But instead, go with God is the idea. I mean, how much more clearly can God say it? And yet, how much do we argue with it? We often are quick to tell the Lord, well, Lord, let's do it my way. I got a really good plan here. Just do it my way, Lord. Oh, what, Lord? You want me to do what? No, Lord, that won't work. I don't want to do that. That might be too tough. This morning, the call is, you know, and we've got to quit saying, God, you can't mean that. When so often it's exactly what we need if we just trust when he says, die to self. Remember, that call is a truth rooted in the plan of the one who designed us. And so when he says, when I see a Christian who is basically the living poster child for selfishness, I just kind of shake my head because I say, wait a minute, I don't get it. I thought you gave your life to him. If it's all me, 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 then wait a minute, something's out of whack. And I say that out of status because that person will miss out. Self always aims too low. Self always gets us in trouble. God has my best interest at heart, much more than even self does. Well, we must press on. The next thing we see here, verse 16, is this. He says, therefore. Remember, therefore is a concluding word or a connecting word. It means based on what I just said, that God is to be in charge of our lives, not us. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. He's not here in person anymore, Jesus. He's not here. That's what Paul's saying about Jesus. He's not here in the flesh anymore. He's ascended. He sits at the right hand of the Father now. And so we know him spiritually. We know him in that way. But in particular, what he's saying is this. New creation people, when looking at others, we don't regard them according to appearances anymore. We're to shift from being a people who look and judge people and go by how they look. You know, are they rich? Are they famous? We give preference to someone because they're popular. We're not to be like that anymore, is the calling. We're to shift from that to seeing people as God sees them. Paul would say it's not about Jew and Gentile, or Greek and Scythian and all those things. It's not about that anymore. It's not about the things that people tend to make it about. Quit viewing people that way. So a new creation person will quit looking at people the way the world does. Instead, we're going to see people as God sees. God sees people in one of two camps. Either you're a new creation or you're not. You're either in him or you're not. You either received him or you haven't. He wants all to receive him, but not all have. And so that's how God sees them, because that's what makes the eternal difference. And that's how we're to look at people. But now verse 17. What an awesome verse this is. Yes, it's familiar, and that's always dangerous because we get used to it. We kind of tune out. But I encourage you, soak in this awesome declaration. What an awesome declaration it is. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You and I needed something, and we couldn't do it ourselves. We needed to be made new. New life. New creations. That's the specific, direct call. Now notice the words it uses here. Again, it starts with therefore. Therefore, again, is a concluding word. See, it's kind of building brick upon brick here and point upon point. Now it's got to the point where it says, therefore. So he's concluding this point. If anyone is in Christ, are you in anyone? Anyone is a pronoun that can mean one, someone, anyone, a certain one. So if you have truly given your heart to Jesus, put your name right there. You are this anyone. You could say here, therefore, it says, since you, if you are in Christ. So make sure you see that. It applies to you. If anyone is in Christ, if your name is in there, you receive Christ, then look what it says about you. You are a new creation. Now listen, this is good stuff. The word translated new here is an important word, the Greek word here. It's an adjective which refers to something which is new in kind. It describes that which has now come into being but didn't previously exist. You see, there is another Greek word that speaks about newness in terms of time. So you might say, well, that's the new phone that just came out. Well, phones have existed. That's just like the new one. But this is not talking about newness in time. This is referring to something that is new as to its very form, or new in quality, if you will. So, this points to this new nature, and what it means that something now exists that is different from anything that previously existed. So it's new in quality. It's new in its form, if you will. So when it says we're new, we are new in our very nature. In short, we have a spiritual nature that didn't exist before. We were dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. And the receiving of Christ into our lives caused us to be alive now spiritually. The receiving of Christ, Him coming into our lives, wasn't just He comes in and puts a new coat of paint on us. It's not like fixing up that car. Well, I'm going to get my car fixed up. I'm going to get some new tires on it, and I'm going to get it painted. It'll be like brand new. See, some people think that that's what we do when we come to the Lord, that we pull up our bootstraps, and I'm going to make a new start, make a new effort here, and I'll be new. Boy, he turned a new leaf. But that's all pointing to self-effort. This has nothing to do with anything like that. This is a work that only can be done from the outside in the life of that person receiving Christ, and they now actually have a brand new spiritual nature. We are new creations in Him. Again, it's not just being refurbished. It's not just reforming someone. It's regenerating them. It's a new thing that now exists. So I want us to think about that a moment. How are we new in God's eyes? Well, one way we're new is that once we were dead to God, and now we're alive to God. Ephesians chapter 2. You can look at that later. Read the chapter. It'll bless you. Once we were dead in trespasses and sins, disconnected from God, headed for hell. That's just the way it was. All of us. But when we receive Christ as Savior, He makes us alive. We now are alive to God, headed to heaven. You can get excited about that if you want to. That is good stuff. How are we new? I'm alive where I once was dead. How else are we new? The Bible teaches us, this is out of Ephesians 2 also and 1 John 3. How else are we new? We once were children of wrath. But now, if you're a believer, you are a child of God. People like to say, oh, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. Ephesians 2 says we were children of wrath. We walked according to the prince and the powers of this air and all. We walked according to the enemy, the things of this world. We just did. But God, in His mercy, got hold of us and totally changes us. And as John says, now we are called sons of God. Now we are children of God. Think of it. Born again to life. Now we're His children. How else are we new? Once we were slaves of sin, the Bible says. You can read in Romans 6. We were slaves of sin. Sin was in control. We didn't even realize it. We had no sin. We just went with it because that's what was in charge. We lived in that realm, made decisions in that realm. Flesh, sin, self, it just ruled over us. But when the Lord comes in, it tells us in Romans 6 that we are freed from sin. It doesn't mean we don't sin anymore, but the power of sin is broken. I don't have to just go with it anymore. But I have the power of sin is broken. And I can, by the Holy Spirit, say no to those things that are contrary to God's will. So how are we new? We're free. Free from sin. How else are we new? The Bible says that we once were far off from God. But in God, we have been brought near. Once there was that distance, that separation that we couldn't span. But we cried out and said, Lord, do what I can't do. Forgive me. Save me. I'm a sinner. I need cleansing. He spans the gap and He brings us near. Indeed, He indwells us. There's so many awesome ways that we're new. We are new. We have this brand new life. We have a new source. We have new strength. We have new priorities. We have a new future. We are new creations. Listen to Paul in Galatians 6. Let me just read this. Galatians 6, you can jot it down and read it later. Galatians 6, verses 14 and 15. Paul says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the Christ and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. End quote. Paul says, I'm not going to boast in self. I'm not going to boast in me. But if I boast in anything, it will be in the cross of Jesus Christ. For by the cross, I was crucified to this world and the world to me. The power of this world was broken. There's a separation now between me and the world in that way. And it's a good separation. It doesn't rule and reign in my life. I don't just go at this world anymore. He says, for in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Remember, that for them points to their efforts, their work, their sacrifices. He said, it avails nothing. That doesn't bring new life. That doesn't span the gap. Look out, pastor's getting excited. That's not what makes the difference. It's a work done for me from outside of me. Those avail nothing. What avails? He says, a new creation. That's what God's looking for. Are you a new creation this morning? And that's what's so awesome about these verses. If you're in Christ, put your name in there. You are a new creation. And these are just some of the ways that we're new. Well, we must press on. Verse 18. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's so much here. For time's sake, let me just zero in on a couple of things. We needed reconciliation with God. We needed the enmity between us dealt with. We needed the space between us and God dealt with, span. We needed to be reconciled to God. And it declares here that we have been. Now, these particular phrases throughout this tell us who did this and how he did it. I want to draw your attention to it. Verse 18. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. In short, this is a sovereign work of God. God did this. He took someone like me and made me a new creation. And same for you. Isn't he worth living for? I mean, think about what he's done for us. But look here, the whole work. And that's why Paul begins verse 18. Now all things are of God. This is all of God. He did this. It was he who reconciled us to him. And verse 21 is so significant. For he made him. This is how it all happened. Here we have the whole ground by which we are made new. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Therein lies the whole basis of our standing with God. And it speaks of the greatest transaction that you will ever enter into. You ever got a really good deal on something? Probably told everybody, huh? Oh, man, you know, this is a deal. I got this car. I made a killing, man. I got this, I got that, and they gave me this off, and it was great. And you tell everybody. And maybe you've done that. Maybe something at Christmas here. Maybe you're going around telling everybody right now. You're so excited. Oh, yeah, see the deal I got on this. It doesn't compare to the transaction that you can have with God. There's light years difference in this transaction. And remember, it's the only way reconciliation can happen. Is the deal by which God takes our sin and puts it to Jesus' account and takes his righteousness and puts it to ours. You will never find a deal that comes close to that one. Have you taken him up on the deal? Have you cried out, God, I'm a sinner. Yes, apply my sin to the work of the cross. Put those to Jesus' account and apply that righteousness to mine. If you cry out for that, he does it. And at that moment, you are a new creation. If you have done it, have you lost sight of being a new creation? What that transaction ushered into our lives, what an awesome, beautiful thing it is. But notice that Make sure we see the means by it. What's the very last part of verse 21? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You have to be in Jesus. It doesn't say in church. Well, I was in church. It's been said the day after the rapture, there'll still be a lot of people going to church. Because that doesn't save you. It's in Jesus. How do I get in Jesus? By letting Him in you. By inviting Him in. Crying out, God, come in. And the minute He comes in, you're in Him. That's the deal. To be in Christ is to be a new creation. I hope you were taught that. If not, you are now. You're being taught and understood. A whole awesome eternal work took place. Saved, yes. Forgiven, yes. But more, a new being spiritually before Him. When a person truly believes in Christ, God places and positions that person in Christ. In all that Christ is, and all that Christ has done, and all that Christ has for us, is in Him. Because we're in Him. And remember, to be in Christ means that every day will find us living in Him. Day by day, walking in Him means following Him, being all about Him. But now I want to go back over these same verses here, 18 to the end of the chapter, and I want us to look at something else in these verses. For we have already just looked at how this work occurred, that it was God in Christ doing it for us. But now look at another point He makes in these verses. Go back to verse 18. What's He say at the end of it now? And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See, it's the word through the power of the Holy Spirit that speaks to hearts and lets them know of this good news. The word establishes the truth of it. And in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We have a message. That's what He's saying. He said, I've worked this work inside of you. Now you are a living message. Our message is what? It's one of reconciliation. Not condemnation. Reconciliation. We are to go out in our new condition as new creations and speak to people that we've been reconciled. And God wants you to be reconciled also. That will attract people. See, oftentimes we're afraid to share with people. You don't know what to say. Or sometimes we share with people something so loving that goes something like this. You better turn or you're going to burn. And we wonder why people are like, oh, and they don't want to hear it. And why would you even talk it about? But that's not the message. The message is, I was dead and now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I see. And there was a gap between me and God, like all of us, but He spanned it. I'm reconciled. Come, be reconciled to God. That will attract people. When they see a new creation life, because a new creation life has joy and peace and those various fruits in their life, and that will attract people. So we don't go with one of condemnation, we go with a message of reconciliation. And notice this, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Just a reminder, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who is sent by a government or a president or somebody to a foreign land, a foreign country, on behalf of the sending country. They're sent to that other country with a message or whatever it might be from where they're from. Now that ambassador lives in a foreign country. But his citizenship isn't in that country, is it? He's still a citizen of where he was sent from. When we became believers, we became new Christians, new creations, our citizenship was moved to heaven. It talks about we are now citizens of heaven. We're citizens of God's kingdom. Now, we're sent to this country, if you will, called the world. And so we're here, but we represent the one we're sent from. An ambassador represents his president or whatever. We represent our king. And so we go with a message. Now, when you go with a message, if an ambassador went to another country, sent by the president or something, and he went to another country and he said, okay, I'm here and here's what the president wants me to say. But you know what? I think he's been, I want to change that deal. Tell you what, I'm going to work you a deal. Don't worry about what he says about this. Instead, do this. What if we started changing the message? Would the president not have the right to call us back and go, what are you doing? That's not the message I sent you with. Just take the message I gave you to them. An ambassador can't change the message, and we can't change the message. And indeed, why would we want to change it if we understood? Because what's our message? What's it say as if he's pleading through us? Be reconciled. It's not, you're so bad, you're a sinner. Well, yeah, so am I. But there's a forgiveness. There's a place of being satisfied, that spiritual thirst. Be reconciled. You don't want to change that one. Be the message and convey the message. That's what he's saying here. God's pleading through us. Be reconciled. There can be no doubt as to our calling. So now, what will 2015 find us individually and as a fellowship doing? How will it find us responding to this very clear call? To be ambassadors with the message, be reconciled. That you can be a new creation. I'm going to invite our worship team up, but I'm not through, but I want them to go ahead and start coming up. I began with the question. Do you remember what I said? What did I say? I said, what's a common thing people ask you? I said, so, what's new? Remember I said that? Some are nodding. Based on what you just heard this morning, how would you answer that question now? If I said to you, so, what's new? What should we answer? Me! Me! Okay, I'm going to put somebody on the spot. Are you ready? It's not a hard answer. You're going to answer me. Rudy, what's new? Me. Amen. Tim, what's new? Me. Got it. Good note. Kathy, what's new? Me. Me. Amen. Bob, what's new? Me. Everybody, so what's new?
Me.
Me. Amen. Now, when someone asks you on the street, someone just happens to be casually at work, say to you, hey, what's new? You might have an opportunity. Me. Now, of course, they'll go, what? I say, let me tell you. Let me tell you how I'm new, in spite of myself. And hold forward the ministry of reconciliation, the message of not condemnation, reconciliation is the one. After first service, someone came up to me and said this to us. And I admit, it's kind of cute. So if you're like, what's the answer? So if you ask someone, so what's new, what do we say? Me. So what do you wish people now? Happy New Me. Think about it. Happy New Me. Because that's what's new. That's what makes me happy. Not a new year. You know what makes me happy and blessed? Happy New Me. As we head out as ambassadors. Again, what's our message? Be reconciled to God. And remember and thank God for the truth expressed here in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone, that's you, believer, is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Good stuff. Let's stand. If you haven't received Christ as Savior, then none of this applies yet. But it can. Would you be reconciled to God? Would you have your sins forgiven, your destiny changed? Do you want to be a new creation, as God declares? Go to the back corner of the room, my right, your left. Find a prayer partner. I'd be glad to pray with you and talk about this with you. For the rest of us, let's go out here rejoicing and praising God. New creations with an awesome message. Let's pray. Father, recognizing that the new year can hold so many different things, and indeed every day can throw such challenges at us, thank you, Lord, that you've established the eternal issues. You've settled them. And Lord, if anybody's been struggling, if anybody needs some encouragement, Lord, I pray you speak to that heart right now about this awesome newness that you've worked that has changed everything. Father, all of us just want to bow our hearts before you and just say, thank you. New creations because of you. How we thank you for that. And so, Lord, stir our hearts and help us be a people just not emotionally worked up, but just spiritually excited about that newness, Lord. And help us be ambassadors. Ambassadors pointing to that awesome work that only you can do, but you do it. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, may you get all the glory now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. Let's close in song together.